Morning, Malcolm. How are you doing?
Good. I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Thanks so much for asking. So as I mentioned, the US is keen on rotating B-1 strike bombers in the Northern Territory, but how much of an American military presence already is occurring up there in the top end?
Well, we already have Marines that operate in Darwin for training purposes 6 months out of every year. They can't operate in the wet season for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's about up to 2,500 Marines that occur that are in there regularly every year. The U.S. Air Force already use our training ranges in the Northern Territory, so we have B-52 bombers, for example, which are an older aircraft, as well as tactical fighters that operate over Northern Territory airspace. The B-1s are going to be a new addition to that. They have operated in Australian airspace before, but this will be a rotational deployment, which means that instead of just coming down for some training, they will actually deploy into Australia and base themselves for a few months each year and then go back out. So it's not a permanent basing arrangement, it's a rotational deployment. And then the next step after the B-1s, of course, is a lot of discussion about the possibility of the US Navy having forward basing out of Western Australia. So that's the extent of the US presence here in Australia.
Now, the B-1, I think they're called Lancer bombers.
Mm-hmm.
How much more significant would the temporary stationing of these be from what you described as already here or rotating here at the moment?
Well, as I said, the previously, we've had U.S. Air Force, U.S. Marine assets, some U.S. Navy operations operating out of Northern Territory and exercises and so forth. My reading of the debate on this is that these will be rotational deployments. So they'll be forward-based into Australia for 6 months out of every year or 4 months out of every year. The exact figure hasn't been decided yet. And these will be stationed there for that period rather than just flying in for a week or so to do an exercise and then flying out again.
Okay.
And the B-1Bs, they're younger than the B-52s, which date back to the 50s. And they're more capable in many respects because they're a higher speed aircraft. They can go very low altitude. But they're still relatively old, and they will be replaced in the end by a new aircraft that the Americans are developing called the B-21. Which looks a lot like a B-2 stealth bomber. But the B-1Bs will nevertheless be a significant boost in America's presence here in Australia.
Now, what about China? A lot of people are concerned about how China will react to this news. What do you think their reaction will be?
Well, clearly they won't be happy. I think everyone understands that. China is wanting to ultimately force the Americans out of the Western Pacific and basically create their own security space that is led by China. But, the reality is that in today's world, Australia does not create its foreign and defense policy on the basis of China's veto. And so, therefore, we make our own decisions about how our defense policy and what allies we have and what forces we have based in here. And so they may well be upset about this, but we've made a decision alongside the Americans that these B-1 bombers to be based in the Northern Territory are in our interest, and I think that's probably the correct decision. So yes, the Chinese will be upset, but we will engage them diplomatically and smooth things over, and the B-1s will still come in.
You said the comment that Australia makes its own decisions, and traditionally we've been very close to the US and have been since World War II and even earlier.
Mm.
Has that situation changed at all? Do you think Australia's become a bit more independent in the decades since?
Well, I think that we've always been independent. We're a sovereign nation state. We do make our own choices. For example, if we didn't want to get involved in the 91 Gulf, Persian Gulf War or the 2003 Iraq War or Afghanistan, we wouldn't have done it. We make our own choices. I think that there is more active debate about our U.S. ties these days than what there was back in the Cold War, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But that's mainly because you have a more informed audience that has greater access to information through social media and the internet and so forth. And so, therefore, there's more people, shall we say, airing their voice. And I think that that's probably an important thing to do. But I think the US-Australia strategic alliance is stronger than ever.
And just one final question, Malcolm. Obviously, a lot of eyes are watching the South China Sea, and as tensions increase there especially, what do you think will happen there in the coming years and decades?
Well, the Chinese are clearly seeking to claim what they call indisputable control of the South China Sea. So they want to control not only, I think, the disputed territories within the South China Sea, but the entirety of the South China Sea. And so this is a real challenge to regional security, because there are neighbouring states like the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia and so forth that also have claims in the South China Sea. But more fundamentally, Chinese control of the South China Sea means they, in effect, get a chokehold over maritime trade that runs from the Indian Ocean through the South China Sea up into Northeast Asia, to countries like Japan and South Korea, but also to Australia. And so therefore, you know, there is a real concern about freedom of navigation of the seas in the South China Sea, whereby, you know, if the Chinese did control it and chose to do so, they could close off that freedom of navigation of the seas in a crisis. And that's against international law. It's opposed by virtually every country on the planet apart from China. So that's why we are making such a fuss about this, because the Chinese are, in effect, trying to alter the status quo through sort of building islands and military posturing in a manner that would then place them in an advantage in terms of, you know, deciding who gets to sail a ship through the South China Sea or fly an aircraft over that airspace. And that's not acceptable.
All right, we'll leave it there. But Malcolm, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER this morning.
Thank you.
That is Malcolm Davis, a senior analyst in defence strategy and capability at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, talking to us about the potential of US B-1 bombers being stationed at the top end and what it might mean for security and trade in the coming decades. Really interesting stuff there. Keep an eye on that for sure.